Rather like mum, I'm not very good at standing up and talking. I'm better at sitting down and writing. But I've been challenged by those that love me, apparently, to be up here. So bear with me, and I'll try and do my best, which I guess is all we can do. So, firstly, God's amazing, you know. I hadn't really had an opportunity to speak to Shell about, or anyone really, what I was talking about, because I've been away with work. But I rang Shell when I was at work the other day and said, this is what I'm talking about. And it was the verse which leads up to and finishes in God of the impossible, that God can do what is possible for man is possible through God. So that's sort of what I'm talking about today is going to be centred around. And it just seems to link in with what everyone's been talking about today as well. So what I've titled it as is either putting God first or God of the impossible. I think probably both go hand in hand, really. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 27. So, a rich ruler, or in other Bibles I think he's called the rich young ruler. A certain ruler asked him, Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honour your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." You know, I've read that verse in the past and thought to myself, I've clearly not read it properly and not understood it, because I've thought to myself, how then, like the disciples around when they heard Jesus saying this, where is our hope then? How can any of us be saved? But Jesus says, you know, what is impossible with man is impossible with him. And I think, although it's a real challenge to hear, that he has answers for us and he can lead us in the right direction. I've just written some points that sort of spoke to me through it, which are, we don't need to be rich to be like, we may see somebody who appears to us to be wealthy and have lots of money and life is going right for them. We may say to other people, or say in our hearts, "Look at that rich person, you know, they must have no worries, they must have it all together." But by saying that, what we're really doing is saying, money's more powerful than God. You know, we're exalting money above God, saying money can sort people out, but God can't, which is, you know, clearly not true. So what is God in this scripture? What is God really asking us to do? For some people, it may be giving away all their possessions, but what is the heart of the text? What is he really wanting from us? How can he make the impossible, things that have seemed impossible for us, possible? He can teach us, but we need to be willing to learn. We need to be willing to examine our hearts, look at ourselves, read the word, and look at our own lives. It doesn't mean that it won't be painful. For that rule, it was painful. He went away sad. But when God convicts us and shows us that we need to change, he'll be there for us. He wants to teach us, and he wants us to come into his presence, and he wants us to learn. So let's see what Jesus had to say. I believe in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 31, sort of points us in the right direction, and to me, I feel that it's sort of what that ruler needed to learn, and probably what he was also hearing Jesus talk about after what he heard Jesus speak about initially. So Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 31. And I'll start from, I'm going to read it in sections to sort of try and go through it a little bit. So first of all, chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. Okay, let me read it. 12, 13 to 15. Okay, it says here as a heading, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And I feel in that moment, as with us, when we go before God, he sees our hearts. And I feel he saw that man's heart in the way he was asking before Jesus, you know, Son of God, you know, and he's asking Jesus to sort out his financial issues, you know, more wrapped up with my brother's getting inheritance, why aren't I getting it? That's not fair. Da, 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 da. God wants more than that from us. God looks inwardly when we look outwardly. Okay, so verse 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. God wants our trust and our security to be in him. Not in our wealth, not in our possessions. He wants us to desire him, not wealth and possessions. And if we don't have them, what we think if we get them, they'll bring for us. You know? Okay, verse 22 to 31. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labour or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows what you need, that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Put God first. You know? this is what God's been speaking to me, you know. He's really been challenging me on it. And there's no other way of putting it apart from put God first. Trust him to provide, you know. He loves you and he knows what you need. And you need to really let that be written on your heart, you know, because it's very, very easy to chase after money and the security of money. But it's not lasting. And it won't resolve your real needs, real issues in your life. You know, put God first. He will provide. He loves you. Okay, verse 32 to 34. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will never wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Don't be afraid. Honour God and he will honour you. Put him first and he will provide. And I'd like to finish by reading this scripture, which is Luke chapter 14, verse 8 to 11. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lower place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move to a better place. Then you will be honoured in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And what I was trying to say through that is, when we trust God, there's hope, you know. And what Mum was saying, you know, we're all sinful, you know. We will all sin. But when we put God first, when we trust in him, when we go to the cross and repent of our sin, that he will count us blameless. That will be covered by his blood. And we will be put in a place of honour because we have honoured him. That's it. Thank you.